Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
Well, I feel like there's always new news regarding the housing market and whether people are buying and whether it's a good time to buy a house or to sell a house. And are millennials even able to buy a home? Well, interestingly, what we've found out that giving up on home ownership, just assuming I'll never be able to buy a house anyway, changes behavior in saving, spending, and investing. So joining us now is Molly Basil. She's the senior principal economist with Cotality. And Molly, thank you so much for joining us today.
Yeah, it's great to be here.
It's so interesting that when you don't think you'll buy a home, how, of course, it has repercussions in the rest of your behavior, because I've felt that on a small scale. Sometimes when I haven't had a lot of money, I'm like, well, it doesn't matter anyway. You know, I guess I'll go ahead and buy or not save. So you're saying the data shows that people really do change their behavior when they think, I'm not going to get a home anyway.
Yeah, I mean, think about how much homes cost right now. We look at the median price of a home in the U.S. alone. It's $425,000. So someone is going to need an income of about $95,000 a year to afford that. And that's not where we are right now with median income. It's about $80,000 per year. So we're the average or median income is well below what's needed to afford the median priced home. And on top of that, just to get started, someone would need about $85,000 in a down payment just to put down on that home.
Oh, man. Seems like a lot.
Yeah.
I don't know how many people can... I mean, how many people have $85,000 to put down on a home?
Less than half of the U.S. So, you know, it's kind of getting out of reach for the average American. On top of that, where do you live while you're saving up for that home, right? You have to pay rent.
Mom and dad.
Of course.
You say less than...
You know, those kids in major metro areas, that's a great option, of course. But what if they don't live in a job center?
Yeah.
Then they're going to have to move there and pay rent of over $2,000 a month on average.
You say less than half of the country is able to do that. Is it actually close to half? Do that many people have the resources to be able to put down $80,000 on a house?
Oh, yeah, no. I mean, even if they could have the resources for that, homes are hard to find right now. You know, we hear about how much they cost, why do homes cost as much as they do. It's because there's a really short supply of homes on the market. So even those who could save up that money might not be able to find something to buy.
Yeah, it's really interesting. I hope I'm not talking out of school right now, doxing anybody, family member. My brother and his wife, they were in an apartment and then looked for a house forever. I think they put 10 offers on houses. And this was now about almost 2 years ago. And they, you know, were always getting outbid. And sometimes it was like private equity companies buying up homes. At any rate, they finally got a home. But I think they lived with my parents for about a year. And in some ways, you know, very fortunate that they had a place to stay in between the apartment and the house that they were able to buy. And then also they were able to save so much money that it kind of made it possible for them to buy a home and fix it up, because you save a ton of money if you don't pay rent for a year.
Right.
But I just think, what if they didn't have that circumstance? They wouldn't have, you know, the ability to do what they needed to do to get their home.
Right. Yeah. So you're saying putting it off, they were able to save up the money. Another thing to think of, by putting that off, the home purchase off, you know, the price of homes increased quite a bit during that time.
Mm-hmm.
And they also gave up on a lot of home equity they could have accumulated during that few years.
Yeah.
And home equity is the biggest wealth builder in the U.S., which is really why a lot of young people want to own a home. But again, we were talking about how they're just still priced out.
So actually, when it comes to the jump in cost, let's say from 2019 to now, is that the biggest jump percentage wise that we've seen in home prices in like a 5 or 6 year span? Because I feel like it is a completely different ballgame now than it was pre-COVID.
Yeah, exactly. It is the biggest jump we see in that time span. And part of what made home ownership pretty affordable during that time, again, we're talking down payments, will still be very large. But part of what made it affordable during most of that time period was very low interest rates. But then we all know what happened in 2022. Interest rates about doubled during in 2022, further pricing a lot of people out of the market.
Where are rent prices right now?
Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly. Rents have rents kind of mimic what happens in the home sales market. The average rent in the U.S. is $2,400 a month. So, you know, thinking about, again, trying to save up that down payment, that would be pretty tough. We did mention there, for some young people, there's the option of moving with parents, and then they could also share that rent with other people if they live with them.
Yeah, we have someone who is listening to our show texted in that people are pulling 401k money out to buy a home. I also know the Wall Street Journal said something like maybe it was 8% of people are using inheritance money or any money that they would get later in life to buy a home.
Yeah, so 401k, pulling that out, that has some pretty large tax implications. So they really need to be careful or at least calculate out what that means for their tax bill the next year. And for inheritance, I mean, maybe that's some kind of agreement they have with their parents to kind of advance that to them, I guess, before it's needed.
You know, it doesn't seem like a really great situation where half the people, their plan is, well, I guess I'll borrow money from mom and dad somehow.
No.
Like that just doesn't. Is that sustainable?
Yeah.
What and how do we get away from a situation where that's what young people have to rely on, is getting an inheritance or getting help from their parents?
Right. So what you need is more supply of entry level housing. Right. So that's where a lot of the gap is right now in the housing supply. So it could be condos. One thing builders are building more of is townhouses. That's a great entry level type of place to start, or a type of housing unit to start in. And so you need more of that coming up. Land is very expensive. And so a builder needs to optimize, you know, the land. So if, say, the zoning allows for something like a townhouse or a multi-unit property, maybe a duplex, something like that, a builder could build some more affordable kind of entry-level houses. But, you know, where I am, we don't have that kind of zoning. So, you know, not doxing anybody, you know my address, but across the street they tore down a nice little house and are building a very large single family house on that property. Maybe they could have put a couple of smaller houses.
Molly, just for some context, because we do have, you know, texters saying, well, you know, back in my day, that type of thing, that like our parents who went to college, paid for college, worked their way, bought starter homes. And they were, you know, like my parents, they didn't have any money, right? They were splitting hairs to make things work, which I understand you have to do when you're starting out. But for context, even if young people like millennials, say that age, are making more money, their income is greater than their parents, isn't the percentage what your house will cost way more? Just like in the same way that the cost of college has outpaced inflation.
Oh, of course. Yeah. Housing costs or home price costs have definitely outpaced inflation. They are coming down a little more affordable than they were, say, a year ago, just a tad bit. You know, you'd have to squint to look at that chart, right? But recently, they were the most expensive that they've ever been.
We are talking again with an economist, Molly Basil, with Cotality. And we were talking earlier about, you know, how people who don't feel like they are close to owning a home and may never be close to owning a home, maybe a little more frivolous with their spending. So it and leads me to think about this, that there's sort of a psychology, from what I understand, with poorer people who don't have a whole lot of money as it is. And when they go buy, you know, a luxury item, or they go buy, you know, a really nice mobile phone instead of getting something that's a little bit cheaper, that there's a psychology to that. Is there a, as far as you know, are there numbers on that of people who don't have great means, when they do have a little bit of money, that they use it to spend on something that they probably shouldn't? Is that pretty prevalent?
Well, we when we look at the housing market, it's really hard to spend money that you don't have on a house, right? Because you got to qualify for that loan. So anything where you're going to need to take a loan, you do have to qualify. So we you know, for at least for that type of item, it's hard to overspend.
Okay, Molly Basil, Senior Principal Economist with Cotality. We appreciate your time and visiting with us today on KMOX.
Yes, it's been great to be here. Thank you.
Thank you, Molly. My plan, Amy, is to just move in with the two of you.
Well, I got bad news, because my plan is to move in with my parents. I talk about, okay, it's hilarious, because if anybody knows the dynamic, my mom and dad are way cooler, way more capable, and have awesome lives compared to me. And so I always joke that I'm going to move in and take care of them. I'm going to dress them in matching outfits, and we're going to do activities, which is really funny, because what's going to happen is my retirement plan is just to move in with my parents and have them take care of me. But I talk about activities, color, and go on walks.
These are your parents.
Dude, are you in a
5-year-old children?
Well, she's either talking about a 5-year old, like a assisted living facility.
Which is so funny.
Oh, we're going to go on walks
they
today.
They take care of me.
And finger paint.
My mom is buying me a Life Alert. So anyway, yeah, I just told
them. You're like Benjamin Button.
I am. I did. I put my arms around them this Christmas because I showed up with my luggage. Again, my dad cannot get rid of us, but I showed up with my luggage and I put my arms around them. I'm like, Mom and Dad, I call it the plan. I'm like, the plan is in full effect, and my dad did not appreciate it.
That basement, though, I'm moving into your parents' basement.
There's enough room to spread
it
out.
Is
so
nice
that way
down
you
there.
Can, yeah, just, you know, it's like an apartment. Stay in the basement. A lot of people stay in the basement.
They live out in the sticks, but it's a nice place.
Yeah.
I could live in that basement for no rent. I could live down there and they wouldn't even know I'm there.
Yeah, if you don't go downstairs.
Yeah.
You can hide a lot in the basement.
Hey, you know that the movie Song Song Blue, is with Hugh Jackman and...
Kate Hudson.
Who did she used to date? No, wait, not Aaron Judge. Why am I thinking of A-Rod? She used to date A-Rod.
She did?
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan, equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense, while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
I thought that was Jennifer Lopez.
Oh, I used to date a lot of different people.
Kate Hudson?
Yeah.
I thought she dated that like long-haired hippie rocker guy.
She's dated multiple people. Anyway, there's a movie about a Neil Diamond tribute band, which sounds really interesting. Well, there's a Neil Diamond tribute show that's been going around. It's coming here to St. Louis, to the Factory. We're going to talk to David Jacobson, lead singer of Neil Forever. That's coming up at 11:30. In the meantime, we would like to hear from you. 314-436-7900 on KMOX. So, Amy, earlier in the office, she says, did you know that this movie, Song Sung Blue, is not about Neil Diamond? It's about a tribute band? And I said, yes, I did know that.
No. I think what I said is that you told me that, right?
Oh, I don't know.
Because I wouldn't have known that if you hadn't told me. I keep seeing the movie Song Sung Blue.
Have you not heard that song?
Yes. With Hugh Jackman and Kate Hudson. And I keep seeing it advertised. I think it was yesterday because I said my dad wants to see it. My dad never says he wants to see a movie. I don't know that I've ever heard him say that. He's a pretty easygoing guy. He goes, I'd actually like to see that. And I thought I would too. And then you're the one that told me it's about a couple that creates a tribute band to Neil Diamond.
Which I think is, the premise of it is somehow a lot more interesting than if they were to do an actual movie about the actual Neil Diamond. Not that he's not interesting. It's just that there's something different. It's different that, you know, you've got this tribute band that and I don't know the whole story. I haven't seen the movie. I've seen a little bit. I saw just the other day video from, I think it must have been about 20, 25 years ago of the couple that's in the movie or that the movie is about, those two people in a show in Milwaukee. It was a Pearl Jam show. And Pearl Jam brought them up on stage to perform with them. And they played, it was Forever in Blue Jeans. That's what they played. And I thought, so they must be like a local Milwaukee legendary kind of act. Which I think is, so to me, that's really interesting. I mean, this is a, you know, normally you think, cover band, tribute band, that's not all that fun. They're living out somebody else's dream. They're not doing their own thing. But there is something really fascinating about this premise.
It is. It's not that I'm against the premise. I just feel like the movie trailer or the commercials, whatever it is we're seeing on TV, do not make that clear.
Yeah.
I had no idea. I would have showed up at the theater and probably been about 20 minutes in going, wait, is he Neil Diamond or is he not Neil Diamond? That I had no idea. So I did. I texted my mother, said, hey, tell Dad, by the way, it's not about the real Neil Diamond. It's about a tribute band. And she also agreed it was very misleading. 100% I would have found out during the movie that it was not Neil Diamond.
But I will tell you, and again, I do like Neil Diamond's music. I'm more interested to see the movie now knowing that it's about a tribute show instead of it being about the real guy. I don't know, to me, maybe that sounds silly to everybody else, but to me, I think that's totally fascinating. You know, I actually know a guy who is in a U2 tribute band. He's been doing it for about 25 years. And you know, it kind of looks like Bono. And I think that's why he started it. And I said to him, this was years ago. I was like, does the band know about you? And he says, I've heard they are aware of us. And I've heard that Bono says, I'm flattered, but I wish they'd do something else. Which is, I think that's pretty cool in itself.
Yeah.
Go do your own thing. Make your own music. But tribute bands are fun, especially when you don't see
the touring band,
right?
We love them here in St. Louis.
And also in Missouri, we are loving FanDuel Sportsbook. It is rolling in the Show Me State. It has been almost a month now. January 1st, that'll be a month that sports betting has been legal here in the state of Missouri. And FanDuel Sportsbook is celebrating by offering new customers this. You can bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets. That's whether you win or lose, and that is for new customers only. So, football playoffs are coming up here. basketball and hockey, they're all happening right now. You can bet all those things on an app that's safe, secure, and super easy to use. So download the FanDuel app or go to FanDuel.com/Missouri and join the excitement, because Missouri, it is time to play your game with FanDuel. 21 plus and present in Missouri. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. January 9th at 8 o'clock at the Factory. It is Neil Forever, a Neil Diamond tribute show. And that is perfect timing because of the new film that is out, Song Sung Blue, starring Hugh Jackman and Kate Hudson. And that movie is it's getting a lot of publicity right now. So it must be an interesting time to be involved in a Neil tribute show, considering the movie is about a Neil Diamond tribute band. David Jacobson is the lead singer of Neil Forever, and he joins us now on 104.1 FM KMOX. David, good to have you. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me, and happy to be on.
So we are looking forward to your show, which is a week from this Friday at the Factory in Chesterfield, and it is a Neil Diamond tribute show. So, I mean, this is, like I said, kind of perfect timing to be touring right now and then to have this movie coming out. Have you noticed an effect from that?
Yeah, well, of course. I mean, it's, between the Broadway show and this movie, the interest of Neil Diamond between all of the age groups now is really obvious. And there's a groundswell that was expected with all this new excitement. But yes, for sure, we're seeing a lot of interest.
Now, David, you have obviously your whole show, Neil Forever, a swashbuckling 14-piece ensemble, but you're not just the lead singer. You created Neil Forever. You put this band together. And so,
hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. If Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day. Yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense, while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
How did you do that, and why did you do it?
A little crazy, I guess. I didn't know what I was getting myself into. Moving 14 people around the country is not easy. But, it's interesting. I've always been into music. I've done different things throughout my life. And I've always had a Neil Diamond tone in my voice as a tenor. And it was always a comment people made who knew Neil Diamond. And it was just about 3 years ago, we were fooling around. We have a little music studio, and we started playing a few Neil Diamond songs. And it was like, wait a minute, this is starting to sound really good. And we just fell in love. And then I took a deep dive into Neil's history. I was never a big Neil Diamond fan growing up, but over the year that I was putting this thing together, the research and the interviews that I watched and so much information I learned about him and his history, I just really fell in love. And I also found out that his live performances, love him or don't love him, he has one of the most joyful live experiences that I've ever seen. I saw it live at Jones Beach in New York. So it turned out to be a passion-driven project, and it turns out that we're pretty good at it. We got some great musicians, and they're all talented, more talented than I am. I just happen to sound like Neil, but these guys kill it, and we put on a very exciting show.
And this is sort of this group that you have is a bit of a family thing too, isn't it?
Oh yeah, thanks for saying that. Yeah, my son is the music director, He is the talented one in the family. Mm-hmm. He actually is the one that really has great skills in musicianship. And my daughter is one of the backup vocals. And we travel together, and it's been very special having them part of this, for sure.
When you created this, were you confident that there was an appetite for it, that people would come to the shows, or did you have doubts, or did others doubt you?
You know, that's a great question. For sure, you know, one of the things that's interesting, you know, I watched something that the piano player who sings Yellow Brick Road. What's his name?
Elton John.
Yeah.
Elton John. See that? I'm all Neil Diamond. I can't even think of anyone else. So what happens, he said, don't ever play a room bigger than you can handle. So he always, his idea for a band was go to a smaller room, pack it out, go to another room and pack it out. So yes, my vision was to go to theaters. We wanted to play in front of larger crowds. And there was a big doubt from everyone, even part of the band members. You sure you want to do this larger theater? And I was like, yes, we have to go for it. And we did. We went to the Paramount in New York. We went to other theaters that were bigger than we were. And it worked out very well because it turns out that the Broadway show kicked off and it was very prominent in the news. So we had a little bit of a backwind, a little tailwind, and it helped us. It really did. So there was definitely a doubt in my mind. There was a lot of nerve-wracking concerts when ticket sales seemed to be, you know, waning. And then at the last minute, I don't even know how we just sold out, and people started to love Neil Diamond, and the younger people were getting involved. So there was a challenge at the beginning, but it all worked out.
That's wild that you did this. And like you said, the Broadway show happened. Now the movie's starting out. And I'm glad you brought up young people, because I imagine you have a ton of different ages at your shows. This is like, and here's why I think that. Imagine the 1988 Neil Diamond Greatest Hits Live VHS. We had that. I was 5, 6, 7 years old. I was in love with it. I watched that VHS over and over again at such a young age, which is really funny. And I do think there's something in that Neil Diamond that does resonate with all different ages. Like you said, maybe it's his joyous performance. But at 8 years old, 6 years old, I loved it.
Yeah, you know, I'm doing the math now. 88, 6 years old. But yes, for sure. You know, it's resonating with people for a lot of reasons. You know, the publicity with the Broadway show and all that, for sure. But it's also, I think that everything old becomes new again when it's really authentic and it's real and it's special and it's joyous. Because, you know, music could be music, but you listen to today's music, and, you know, I have a younger son who listens to music that I can't relate to. I appreciate it because, you know, he loves it. But it all comes down to the fact that, how does it make you feel? Does it make you happy? And does it entertain you? And people are now, they're hungry for that stuff. Maybe it was because COVID was around for a few years. It kept people from seeing live performances. So people wanted to get back out there again. And that's pretty much when the concert, the Broadway show became live. So I think it was a perfect storm for Neil Diamond. And it's just really, the key word you said before is the word joy. And I truly mean that, is that we see people that are 20 years old, 25 years old, and we see people in their 80s that have tears in their eyes when we're playing. Can you imagine an 85-year-old, you know, person coming to a concert and feeling the way they did 50 years ago at a live Neil Diamond concert? You know, and that's why we concentrate so much on the authenticity, not just in the sound, but in giving these people a performance, because there's very few people understand how wonderful Neil Diamond's live shows were until you experience it for yourself.
And that's one of, to me, and I know there are people out there who don't care for cover bands or tribute bands. They want to see the live act. And for me, I think it's a benefit because you can't always see the band you want to. And in Neil Diamond's case, he stopped touring almost 8 years ago because of Parkinson's disease. So you get to see a tribute show. It's about the, you know, it's the next best thing to it if you want to see that act live. Are you aware, David, of whether or not he is aware of your show? And if he is, what his thoughts are on it?
Yeah, you know, there's a few things there. You know, my dad died with Parkinson's. Neil Diamond has Parkinson's. We're connected to a charity called Drive Toward a Cure, who the money, a lot of the money for our tour, especially the Greek Theater show, which is going to be at the very stage that Neil Diamond performed in 1972. We're doing a show there for the anniversary. And a lot of the funds are going to go towards Parkinson's disease. So the point I'm bringing out is that, you know, he is, my heart is very special to the cause. And also him being from New York, we have a lot of connection there. But, you know, for sure, you know, Neil Diamond, you know, he's aware of us in the sense that we're a big enough player in that, in the Neil Diamond tribute world, that I know that he's aware of us. But we're a little bit late to the game in the sense that a lot of the guys who've been around for a while, like the So Good Guys and the gentleman Jerry White from out west, you know, they were doing it when he was young, when he was still active. So he got a chance to go to their show, or they went to his show and they introduced themselves, and there was a little bit of a relationship. Now, you know, he's not really seeing anyone, and it saddens me. You know, believe me, it saddens me that I may never get a chance to really, you know, meet him and talk to him and let him know how much we appreciate and how honored we are to be able to be sharing his music. So it's a little bittersweet, you know, as far as that goes. But we're doing the best we can to just keep his music alive, to keep the energy, to make it as authentic as possible, and also give back with this charity for Parkinson's research and patient care.
Do you ever have any wild moments on stage where maybe people forget that you're not the real Neil Diamond, or you have fans who are a little too into it?
You know, that's very funny you ask that, because one of the I'm not a very outgoing, eccentric person until I get on stage. And even still, you know, and the reason I say that is because, you know, I always feel that and it took a while for me. Now that we're doing this a few years, it's very different for me. Now I enjoy the moment, because I think what people want is they want to believe. They want to be entertained. They don't want someone to come on stage who's tentative, and, you know, so it took me a little while to do exactly that. You know, I say they're ready for Neil Diamond, and all of a sudden this guy comes out. I don't really look like him, you know, and, you know, I am from New York, so I have a little bit of the same accent that he has, but it's, I always feel that people are going to be like, you know, there's always going to be a letdown. So that's why we spend so much time really perfecting the authenticity of the sound and the performance that we do. But you know what? People go crazy, you know, to that point, when I walk out on stage and I get the cheers, you know, because the band starts, right? The music starts, and I always come out like Neil did. I would come out after, you know, a couple of seconds after the music starts, and there'd be big cheers. And at first, I was like, you know, they're cheering for me. They're really cheering for Neil. Mm-hmm. So there's like a little bit of an identity crisis there. It was very strange for me at the beginning. But at the end of the day, we now embrace that. We now go out there. I personally go out there, and I love to entertain and let them have that feeling that they came for. And it's been so much fun.
What song, speaking of cheers, is there one song that gets the loudest cheer that people go crazy for?
Well, you know the answer to that. There's one, Sweet Caroline obviously is the one that everyone goes crazy for. But you know, but I do appreciate your question, because, you know, because you know what, it's all about, even if you saw Song Song Blue, the movie, it's all about Sweet Caroline. However, you want to know something? People come to the show and they're like, he did that. He did that. I mean, listen, I'm a Believer, the one he wrote for the Monkees, Forever in Blue Jeans, Cracklin' Rosie, Love on the Rocks, all the songs from the jazz singer, America, Hello, Hey Louise. I mean, I get chills. It's just one after another. It just doesn't stop the excitement of his songs and all the things. I mean, Hot August Nights. It's just really amazing. So I enjoy, my favorite song to sing is a lot of times is either Forever in Blue Jeans for the excitement, but also I love I Am I Said, which is the song when he was really struggling whether to stay in New York or go back to stay in LA or go back to New York. So that was a very emotional song for him. And I feel the emotion in the crowd, in the audience when I'm singing it. So that's a special as well.
So when you were doing these shows, are women throwing underwear on the stage? Does that happen?
You know, I get that question all the time. Okay, you know, I really do. You know, my wife comes to all the shows in New York, so we have a sign: no underwear on the stage.
She wouldn't get upset, though. She understands.
No, she's very understanding. You know, she gets a kick out of it. But you know what? There are people. I get a little taste of what it's like, you know, for some of the real artists that perform that have some crazy people that can really be over the top. And we get some of them at the end, people that drank a little bit. It gets interesting. You know, I got a hotel room key put in my pocket one time. You know what I mean? It's very funny. But my son is like 34 and he's very handsome, and you know, he grabs all the attention, which is great, you know, from
the
ladies.
Perfect. That's perfect. Funny. Let him take the attention away from you so
exactly,
you won't get in trouble.
Exactly.
David Jacobson, we're looking forward to the show. The Factory is a pretty cool music venue too. Neil Forever, January 9th at 8:00. There are tickets available. TheFactoryStL.com. David Jacobson is part of Neil Forever. In fact, he plays the part of Neil Diamond. And David, we appreciate you being on with us today. Thank you.
Oh, it's my pleasure, guys. Thanks for having me.
Again, TheFactoryStL.com. Amy didn't know that was a thing at Neil Diamond shows where women were throwing
bras. I thought that was just a rock star thing. Because Willie Nelson has a whole wall of bras or something.
So, like, there are some who get them more than others.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the old acts, like Tom Jones used to get it all the time.
Well, tribute bands get them here because I knew the guy that was the lead singer for Street Fighting Band, which was the Rolling Stones tribute. Oh, he was really good. He kind of looked like Mick Jagger. There was underwear thrown on stage for that. A tribute band for the Rolling Stones.
I might go to this show next Friday and
throw my underwear, or is it like a hat?
Nah,
like you have to bring your own? Ones you're wearing?
Well, you take them off, you throw them up there.
Wow. That seems like you go to a hockey game, you lose your hat, you go to a concert, you lose your underwear. This is getting too expensive. Not in this economy.
I might go, I think I'm gonna throw mine on stage.
Gonna throw underwear on the stage, you need to like go to Walmart and buy like a 20-pack cheap underwear. So that way you have them.
Robert is watching us on YouTube and says, caller number? He's wanting to know when we're giving away tickets. We're not giving away tickets for this show. We already did that. You missed it.
We did do that.
Was it two weeks ago? Or 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, it was a while ago.
Sorry, man. When you have an opportunity to win tickets for whatever it is, you have to be paying attention and you have to participate then. Otherwise, too late. But you can still get tickets for Neil Forever at TheFactoryStL.com. Gas House Gang is coming up at 12 o'clock. Bernie Miklas and me will talk a little NFL with Aaron Schatz. That's coming up on the show today on KMOX.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.